The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Well, as I often do on this first of the year, I'm going to talk about Maitreya, because we just celebrated his festival. There's a lot we can say about him, and he's really encouraging for the first of the year. A very appropriate topic for New Year's Day. So, Maitreya, thank you. The Buddha that is to come. So who is Maitreya? Well, his name means the loving one. From Maitri, compassion, or loving-kindness, actually. And his main attribute is loving-kindness. He has many others, but his main one, loving-kindness, simple kindness to beings. No judgment, limitation, kindness to everybody. Boundless kindness to all beings, and love for them, too. I'm going to see, never mind. Well, he's got two main forms, as we see. One of them is the form of the picture on the altar. And that little statue there shows it too. There he is. It's the Japanese and Korean representation mostly, with one foot on the other. It's a really beautiful image, and his hand to his cheek, one foot over the other knee. This is the contemplative Maitreya. And what's he doing? Well, he's perfecting his virtues. He's dressed very simply, unlike most of the Bodhisattvas, they're all dressed up with all these jewels and stuff. And he's just got this very simple little robe on. And his crown in the picture there is not a very big crown. It's a sort of half-formed crown. It's still growing, as it were. He's not finished. He's still working on himself. He knows he still has more training to do, like us. And he's also looking down at the suffering beings in the world, like Kandyan, Avalokiteshvara. Looking down to see these beings suffering in samsara, as they always have been, and maybe always will be for a very long time, and considering how he can help them. And in some of his forms, he's sitting with both his feet down. If you see a Buddha with his feet down, or a Bodhisattva, you know it's probably Maitreya, because he's ready to get up and help somebody. And he's waiting for his time to come as the next Buddha. The Buddha that is to come. So he's also the Bodhisattva of hope for the future. Which is nice for us, you know. But then there's the other form, the laughing Buddha, Hotei, which we're also familiar with. The monk carrying a sack. And apparently there was an actual person, a monk, who lived in ancient China, who would go around with a sack of goodies and toys and things and give them to children, or maybe other people also. Just friendly, kind, generous, giving boundlessly to beings. And he was greatly loved. And at the end of his life, it said that he recited a verse, Maitreya, Maitreya everywhere, yet people do not see him. And they thought, that must have been Maitreya. So they hadn't recognized him, of course, but they thought, better do something about that. So they made statues of him and venerated him. And even now, in Chinese temples, you see Maitreya, Hotei. The Japanese call him Hotei. I don't know what the Chinese call him. I've forgotten. Somebody would know. But he's the image right at the entrance of the temple. There he is, right there. And he's laughing, and he's at ease. He's got a heart full of joy and merriment, as it said in that beautiful offertory. He's not all worried. He's at ease. And this little statue looks just like Reverend Master Jiyu. I always say this. Looks just like her. She was a wonderful example of sitting still in the midst of difficulties, still being able to laugh and not live in anxiety and worry. Some hell would be going on, and she'd be able to just sit still with it and have a laugh, you know, sometimes. She'd get all worried about something, but she wouldn't get stuck there. She would be able to see it in perspective. And because of this, she was able to kind of convey the sense of everything is okay. You felt safe with her around. You didn't feel like, I mean, she could make you nervous because she was a big person and she could be formidable, but by and large, generally, in general, you felt safe with Rav Masterji, you knew that everything fundamentally was okay. Because she could see the bigger picture. She saw further than this little crisis that's going on right now, or this little illness that I have, or whatever. And she was ill a lot of the time, she didn't feel well. But she could see beyond that, see something that was beyond that, see that longer view. So what does all this mean for us? Maitreya isn't just the Buddha off in the future who will come in thousands of years to help us. He's also each of us, there's a little bit of us, each of us is a little bodhisattva in training, working towards truth, trying to practice kindness, loving kindness, fearlessness, wisdom, and all those qualities that he shows us. Joy and merriment in the midst of this world, you know, aspiring to realize the truth. Bodhisattvas you can think of as great beings who will come and help us, but you can also see them as aspects of ourselves that we try to cultivate. We all have that aspiration for goodness and truth. None of us is without, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Even being on this planet, I think, is a little something in everybody that has that aspiration to do better, you know. Loving kindness, Maitreya, the bodhisattva of loving kindness. We can nourish this within ourselves. We don't have to be super wise, but we can always be kind and practice it. Loving kindness doesn't mean we have to love everybody. It's very hard to love absolutely everybody individually. It means we try to see everyone with a compassionate and generous attitude, you know. And at the very least, it means don't harbor ill will against somebody. You can see, you know, you could not have to love everybody. It would be really hard to actually love everybody, and it would be, you'd end up not loving yourself because you couldn't do it, actually, when you think about it. It's very hard to love every single person. Maitreya can probably do it. We haven't quite got there yet, maybe. But we can not harbor ill will. We can practice kindness and do our very best to just see the best in people. You know, everybody has goodness within them. And we need to be kind to ourselves, so we're not trying to live up to some impossible ideal of perfection. Not berate ourselves when we just find it difficult to be loving and kind to somebody we find very difficult. But we don't have to nourish ill will. We can do our best to let that go. And we can offer merit, both to those whom we love and respect, and to those whom we don't much care for, or we find difficult, or we tend to criticize. We can offer merit to everybody. And sometimes the ones we tend to criticize need merit more because it's hard for them, probably. So these two forms of Maitreya, the contemplative one and the laughing Buddha, so how do they apply to us? Well, this contemplative form, we try to work on ourselves, as he's doing, to see our faults and shortcomings and transform them. Anger. You know, we can all become angry, we all have that within us. And there's an enormous amount of anger and hatred in our world, as we know. And there probably always has been. And with our own anger, we can see it and we can try to restrain it. We don't have to give in to it and just say, well, I can't help it, I'm just an angry person. We can actually do something. Even if we don't do it perfectly, we can make a little attempt to do something about that anger or whatever it might be. Seeing our judgments and criticisms of other people, see them arise and not give in to them, or at least not give voice to them and let them go as best we can. Seeing our own judgments of ourselves, you know, doing our best to let them go. I say do our best because it's actually quite hard sometimes to stop judging ourselves. Well, not sometimes. It's hard to stop judging ourselves. We tend to do it a lot. Trying to do the right thing, trying to be good, trying to keep to the precepts, trying to meditate, trying to do all the right things, and we never seem to do it perfectly, and we can be really critical of ourselves. But we have to just think of yourself as you might think of another person. When you do some dumb thing, what would I say to somebody else who did this dumb thing? Would I berate them as I berate myself? Probably not. So just to see, how can I have compassion for myself as well as another being? Training ourselves with kindness, you know, not with just self-judgment and criticism. Fear. We all have that too. It's part of our human condition, I think. And when we're afraid, we can just do our best to sit still with it and not judge it or feel that we are failing at something. And not feed it and not spread it around with worry. You know, telling all our friends how wretched everything is and how afraid we should be and all so forth. There's an enormous amount of fear and uncertainty in our world, as we know. For many reasons. What can happen? You know, what will we do? And so on. And our own fears, the things of our own lives, our fear of losing our loved ones, sickness, poverty, death, you know, death, yes, you're probably going to die. But we don't have to keep feeding that. We can see it. We can see, yes, I'm sick. Yes, this thing has happened. Yes, I'm afraid. But we don't have to keep feeding it with our mind, thinking, oh, this awful thing might happen. Because it probably hasn't happened yet. And very likely, if it does happen, it'll be different from what we expect. And often the worst things are things we hadn't expected at all. We didn't get time to get worried about them. But we still just deal with them. So we're dealing with fear, you know. To practice stillness. Working on our own shortcomings, anger, fear, despair, envy, all that stuff, greed. And just not spread them around. Just sit with them. We don't have to bottle them up and say, I'm not afraid, I'm fine, you know. But to actually just sit still with it and not feed it. Looking at our own mind, seeing what our mind gets up to. See what's there and let it go. Just like Reverend Margaret was saying the other day, letting go, the wonderful practice of letting go. That's a large part of what we do, just letting go. And with faith, faith in the unborn, unseen Buddha nature, or whatever you want to call it, faith in that, we have to root ourselves in faith, otherwise there wouldn't be much point in it all. But something beyond what we see, that's what Reverend Master Jiyu was pointing to, something beyond the immediate, this problem right now, this fear I have, this problem, this difficulty, this things that come up. To see beyond that, there's something beyond that. Faith in the unseen. And then there's this other form, the laughing Buddha. How does he apply to us? Well, the offertory, you know, says he has a heart full of joy and merriment. And he knows it's unsafe to inhabit the three realms of existence. Well, this offertory must have been written hundreds of years ago. And it was unsafe then, and it's unsafe now. Past, present, and future, the three realms, it's always unsafe, you know. It's always been unsafe to live in our world. There's all the things that happen around us, and there's our own short, temporary life, you know. It's not safe. We're not going to be around for long, you know. So why does he have a heart full of joy and merriment, we ask ourselves? Because he knows there's more going on than what we can see, as I said. There's more than the suffering and cruelty and misery we see in our world and maybe in our own lives. There's more going on than that. If we have a problem, it probably won't last forever. Impermanence does sometimes work in our favor. Things going on in the world, things go up and down. Rav Mas used to say, sometimes the sanity level in the world goes down. I think we're in one of those times. And then it comes back up again. You just don't know how it's going to be. Things change. Things don't stay the same, and as I said, things that we feared often don't happen, or they happen in different ways. We don't have to be always worrying about what's going to happen, because we just don't know. And actually that's a blessing, not to know, not to be fully in control of our life, to know that I can't control this body, it's getting old, it's going to get sick, it's going to die, you know. Actually it's a blessing. I wouldn't want to live forever. Knowing that we can't control our climate, we could do better than what we're doing, but we can't control it. And all the things that we cannot control, there's so many things, we can't control what other people do. So, it's unsafe to inhabit these three realms of existence. And still, we can have a heart full of joy and merriment, because it's all right, fundamentally. There's something within which everything takes place. All our joys and sorrows and all the things that happen to us, they all take place within that greater thing. So Maitreya knows there's a lot more going on than what we can see. He knows there's misery and suffering in this world. And it's not that he doesn't care, or that we don't care, because he is the bodhisattva of loving kindness, but he knows there's more to it. It all takes place within something a lot bigger and kinder and wiser than we can fathom. So he's not afraid. The fearless bodhisattva also, they're all fearless, but living in this world, knowing it's unsafe to inhabit these three realms of existence, and still having joy, because you don't have to live in fear all the time. You can be afraid, but you don't have to stay there. And to practice fearlessness is to sit still in the midst of all the conditions that come up. He's at ease. We can be at ease. It may not always happen, because sometimes something happens. Of course we're not always at ease. But we can come back to it. It seems that the world doesn't seem to get any kinder or wiser. But individuals do. Lots of examples of wisdom and kindness and compassion that we see and read about. We just so much rejoice to see a little story about somebody rescuing someone they didn't know, or doing some really benevolent act for other beings. We're always happy to hear that, to see that. Because we want to be like that too, you know. We all have that. So human beings may appear not to be learning anything overall, but individual human beings, we learn, we do better, we do become kinder and wiser. We find kinder and wiser ways to live our lives, and we keep working on it. We keep doing our best. And we can trust that. Just have faith in that. Yes, we seem to have endless wars and injustice and climate change and its consequences and people homeless and desperate, and it seems to get worse and worse constantly. And we have all our own individual problems. But there's something greater. This is samsara, after all, as they say. This is the world of suffering. And it's a world where we can learn from our suffering. It's not just useless. We can learn from the things that happen. If we didn't have any suffering, we'd just go blindly about, you know, not learning anything. But because there's suffering, because there's consequences of what we do, then we can learn, I shouldn't have done that. I'll try to do better next time. Yeah. We don't have to perpetuate suffering. We don't have to live in fear or hatred. We can work to transform them. They arise. Fear can arise. Anger can arise. They do arise because we're human. But we don't have to live there. We can transform them even if it seems to take a very long time. It's well worth the effort. And even a little bit of letting go of an angry thought or a judgmental thought brings us a kind of relief. I don't have to get stuck with this. I don't have to dislike this person. I don't have to keep on going on and on about this grievance. I can let it go. I can't do anything about it, probably. I can just let it go. Oh, what a relief it is. Standing up and doing the right thing, even when we're afraid, you know, it brings us a peace of heart. Even if we have consequences that appear to be difficult, we might alienate people, but there's something in us that knows that was the good thing to do, and we want to do that. We can offer merit. Never underestimate the power of merit, you know. It helps us and it helps other beings, because when we offer merit, we let go of our own little self-concerns a bit and think, well, yes, I may be have some things, but look at this person who is dying. Look at all those people there who are, you know, suffering horribly. People at war, just awful stuff going on. We can offer merit to all of them. And it's not like we have something that they don't. We can offer kindness and merit, and it really helps people. People who have received merit because they've been ill say, oh, thank you, that was so helpful. Even if they don't get better, there's a peace of heart or something that seems to sustain them. So we can always offer merit. We can practice kindness and cultivate love for other beings, as I said. We don't have to absolutely love everybody, but we can let go of harboring ill will towards them, looking at people's virtues rather than obsessing about their faults. You know? We all have both virtues and faults. None of us is perfectly great or perfectly awful. We're all part of Buddha nature, all of us. The unborn, whatever we want to call it, we're all part of that. And we all have our karma and our selfishness. We've got that too. We just need to train ourselves not to live by that selfishness, self-partiality and fear. Not to live and be controlled by those things, but to sit still within them and not let them rule our lives. To practice faith above all. Faith in that which is greater and kinder and wiser than we are. That's what the laughing Buddha, he couldn't be laughing if he didn't know there was something a whole lot better, wiser and kinder than what we can see. Have faith in those qualities, you know, inherent in other beings, those good qualities of kindness. Excuse me, I'm dropping something. Whether we see it or not, kindness and wisdom is available to everybody. Whether they use it or not is another matter, but they have it there, they can find it. And we can see it in them, and we can speak to that. It's really helpful sometimes if you're having difficulty with something, to speak to that goodness of heart, and not just the immediate problem. Whether people seem to manifest their kindness or their wisdom or not, we can trust that and speak to it. And not to be ruled by fear. To practice faith, not to be ruled by... Because fear is a form of selfishness. Selfishness is a kind of fear, really. That's the same thing, really, in some ways. Not to let that run our lives. And never to give up on humanity. Never to give up on ourselves. Never give up. As Winston Churchill said, never give up. Just to keep on going in faith. So Maitreya shows us how to live in this unsafe world. To do our very best to let go of anger and fear and worry and so on. And practice loving kindness to all beings, including ourselves, in all the conditions of our lives. And above all, to practice faith and joy. There is joy in life. Never forget that. There's joy. The Bodhisattva of hope and joy, the loving one. The Buddha that is to come. And maybe that's us. So thank you, everybody, for being here today.